We're reading Ephesians chapter 5 today. Let's take a look at this verse 8. It's part of a larger section that we begin today that goes from verse 8 up through verse 14. So let's read this text to kind of give us the feel for where the Apostle Paul is taking us. Remember, with chapter 5, verse 1, Paul is saying, imitate God, imitate Jesus Christ in the love that God the Father, God the Son has expressed to us. Walk in the love, just like God has loved you. Now, he switches gears. He will start comparing us and our Christian life to light. Verse 8, you were once darkness. Now you are light in the world, therefore walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. It is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by some of them in secret. And all these things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, because whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, God says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It's a wonderful text. Let's take a look at this one verse today. We'll try to work our way through it. Verse 8. Paul is describing the reality of our everyday life in Jesus Christ. He's talking about how real Christians live. There are a lot of people that with their mouths proclaim and say that they are Christians. But their lifestyle, their life, what they teach, what they preach, how they live is very far from Scripture. Beginning with chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6 of Ephesians, Paul describes to us how to practice what we preach, to live what we proclaim. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 were the theology. It was who we are in Jesus Christ. It's what God has done for us. And now, Paul says, now practice these things that you know. Remember, Paul said to walk worthy. Paul said to walk in unity so that the world would see the unity that the church has. Paul has been talking about walking in love. Why? Because verse 1, see, be imitators of God as His dear or as His beloved children. I'm sure we all love our children. We are not only God's beloved children, we are dear to Him. Dear tells us and describes to us the value that God places upon the fact that we are His children. You see, our children are born to us. That's one thing. But when we were born again of God, it cost God something. It's dear. Dear in terms of how expensive we were for God to buy us. God gave everything. He gave His Son. Jesus Christ gave everything. He left His glory in heaven. He became a man. He humbled Himself. He suffered the horrible atrocities of death on the cross on our behalf. He suffered disruption of fellowship with His heavenly Father, all for us. It cost God something to acquire us. Paul writes in Corinthians, he says, you have been purchased for a price, a very big price. How much does it cost to obtain your salvation? Jesus said, if you take all the wealth in all the world, you take all the money there is, all the gold, all the silver, all the diamonds, everything that there is, and you add it all up, it says it's not enough to buy your salvation. But God paid the price. And it says, now imitate me. Be like I, your heavenly Father, am. Paul is writing to Christians here. He's not writing to the world around us that doesn't know Jesus Christ. These words are intended for our ears to hear. This letter was not only written to the church at Ephesus, it's written to us today in Hollywood. Last time we ended, when we looked at this text, we ended in verse 7. Remember what verse 7 says? It says, he's talking in verse 4, 3, 4, 5. Verse 6, those four verses, Paul is talking and making a contrast between the children of God and the children of Satan. There's nothing in between. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. And to Christians, to the Christians in Ephesus and to the Christians in Hollywood, and those of you that are watching us maybe, and those of you that will be maybe getting a CD, we are all part of the kingdom of God. And Paul in verse 7 says, don't partake with them. The word partake is when we sit down with somebody to have a meal with them. Having a meal with somebody is something that's very intimate, very close. When we come to the Lord's table, we partake in remembrance of what Jesus had done. We identify with what Jesus did for us on the cross. Your bodies, Paul says, are a temple of God where God lives. And he says, it is impossible in God's temple where God dwells for there to be anything evil or anything sinful. So don't partake with them. Don't be intimately involved with them. Why? Because verse 8 says, that reflects the way you used to be. B.C. Before Christ. Who were you before Christ? Paul says, you were darkness. I just mentioned in Russian that we often think of our Christian experience as we once were in darkness, and now we are in God's light. But Paul makes a very fine detail here, grammatical detail. He says, you were not only in darkness, that's a true fact. That's a spiritual fact that we learn in Scripture. We not only were in light, that's true, but we were darkness. Now we are light. Paul says, you once were dead. You're now alive. You once lived, or you once were dead in the trespasses and sins. And now live holy lives for the Lord. We once lived, here he says, in the lusts of our flesh. All of this is past. It's B.C. Now, writing to Corinthians, Paul says, you are a new creation. God. In Ephesians, last Sunday, Brother Andrew read to us Ephesians 2:10. You are God's workmanship. You know what that means? That means God is a specialist in what he does. Those of you that are journeymen, you know what the word means. You can be a regular employee, or you can be somebody that has gone through and has the experience to do something. If you ever had to have, or if you ever had a need to have surgery, do you want to be the first person the doctor ever operated on? Or do you want to be the person that the doctor has he knows what he's doing when he's going to cut you open? We want somebody with experience. God is a workman. He knows what he is doing in our life. When David in Psalm 139 writes about when we were created by God, it says God, he saw all the little microscopic details of our inward parts. And he stitched them all together microscopically. You know, surgeons today have the ability to do microscopic surgery on an unborn child inside the mother's womb. That's amazing. And yet God, he created us stitching together all of our cells. Can you imagine God with his doctor's goggles on, microscopically seeing our details? You know, God not only made us, but God knows us now. God knows that once we were B.C., outside of Jesus, once we were darkness, not just in darkness, we were darkness. What does the Bible tell us about darkness? Darkness is God's description of those people that are not saved. Darkness is what describes the prince of darkness, Satan. Now, when Satan was first created, we read in Ezekiel, we read in Isaiah, Satan was an angel of light. He ministered, he served God where God sat. Where did God sit? God sits on high. God sits on his throne. God sits in his glory, in his light that men cannot approach. And Lucifer was the star that could reflect the splendor and the glory of God. It's like you take a piece of foil and it'll reflect. You take a piece of mirror and you can reflect the light. Lucifer would reflect the glory and the light of God until he sinned and he fell. And now he is the prince of darkness with no brightness at all in him. You were once like that. You were in darkness. Don't be part of that, Paul says. You were not only darkness, but you, in your participation in darkness, you created darkness, or you helped spread darkness, or you helped do the things that are darkness. But now you're light. Praise the Lord for that. When we read Scripture, we see that God has nothing to do with darkness. Why? Because where light comes, darkness disappears. It's impossible for God and darkness to be in the same place together. A light naturally shines. It's impossible for a believer to have darkness in his life. Intellectually, when we speak about error. Practically, when we speak about holiness in our life and sin in our life. It's impossible. You are children of light. Now act that way, God says. By definition, then, Satan's children are darkness. By definition, and we'll pick this up next Sunday since we don't have time to develop this, but we are light and we are children of light. And God wants us to shine and reflect his glory and his light and his throne where he sits on high. So may God bless his word today as we meditate on it. Amen.